I'm chatting this afternoon with Professor Nikki Hudson, who is the coordinator of the medical program at the Adelaide Medical School. Professor Hudson, thanks for your time.
You're welcome. It's good to chat.
You've co-authored a perspective in an upcoming issue of the MJA on changes that might need to be made in the medical education system in order to meet changing healthcare needs. How exactly is our healthcare needs changing?
Oh, I think there's several aspects. Mostly with the ageing population, this is a global perspective rather than just happening in Australia. People are living longer, but as a result, they have a lot of chronic disease. I guess diabetes is a very good example, but they also may have comorbidities or other conditions happening as well. So that care needs to be coordinated so that we're maximising the health for the individual so that they can remain healthy as long as possible and, you know, carry out activities of daily living. This has been happening for some years, but I think it's, you know, projections of the people's lifespan suggest that this will be, this, you know, even more of a pressing issue in years to come.
So how does our current medical education system not work in terms of those things that are happening out in the patient population?
There are also areas whose health needs are currently not being met. And I think like rural communities are a very good example. Again, many countries overseas, Canada would be another good example. When I say help meeting health needs, it's so meeting the changing ones, but also to meet the needs of populations that are currently not, you know, served. Medical education, particularly in the clinical years, tends to consist of a series of short-term rotations in clinical specialties. So students who are still gathering understanding expertise in medicine are seeing a very narrow range of diseases and maybe just dealing with a specific condition rather than seeing that condition in the looking at holistically the whole patient and their healthcare needs. And I think particularly if you only see a few patients when they're in hospital for a short time, it's very difficult to understand the impact of their illness on their well-being long-term. And sometimes you might just see someone for a few days or a week and you never know actually the outcome. You don't learn how this impacts on other conditions, but also the result of the management that your medical team or healthcare team put in place. I mean, I must say that, you know, student numbers and access to clinical placements does affect where you can train students. And with the increasing number of medical schools in Australia, for example, there is competition for clinical placements so students can have clinical experience. But many schools, you know, many students are still trained in large tertiary centres and you have a series of short-term rotations. I think I mentioned in the article, I actually think some period and understanding of generalism and managing the people with the generalist in, you know, their whole health and well-being. It can be in the community, but rural settings also can offer an opportunity to work in generalism. And I think this is important for both undergrad and postgraduate training as well. So clinicians maintain a perspective of the patient's presentation in the context of their life and their other health issues related to their health and well-being.
We've got two situations, really, don't we? We've got an increased supply of medical graduates.
Yes.
But we have a shortage of doctors in rural and remote settings.
Yes.
You've talked about generalism. First of all, what's the difference between a general practitioner and a generalist?
I think this is a good question because some of the specialist colleges are looking at generalism for training their physicians and surgeons and so on. Now, rural is a classic example where you do need a generalist. So you ask, a generalist is someone who can manage the patient, their whole health and well-being, and they can advocate and coordinate necessary interventions and more specialty care as required. But if you're in a rural area, that's, you know, sometimes difficult to leave your home for work reasons or family reasons, or you're not well enough, so that is difficult. So if you have generalists in these settings, if they're being trained, they're more equipped to manage some of these conditions that normally in the city you might have a specialist surgeon or a specialist physician managing. General practitioners aren't the only generalists. I think emergency medicine doctors are another good example of generalists. They treat whatever comes to the emergency department. They and they have skills in managing that and deciding, advocating and deciding what is needed in this instance. That's another example. I think pediatricians mostly is another example of generalists. Yes. Are people who manage a range of conditions across childhood and adolescence. We are short of psychiatrists, who many manage all mental health conditions, particularly so in rural and remote settings. I have worked in rural and remote settings over the past decade or so, and I think, you know, general practitioners, psychiatrists, generalist physicians are people that are really in short supply. But it's also good for someone who is going to become a specialist, a surgeon that only, you know, works in a particular area, who has a period of training in a generalist environment to understand how generalists work, create the networks and links, and, you know, set up ways so that the super specialists can work together with the generalist. I think I say in the article, it's sort of whole patient care. And I think all graduates need to have an understanding of this. I mean, I wrote about medical education, but in other health disciplines, there's a need for generalists in some settings as well.
In your article, you talk about the model of education that the University of Wollongong, for example, uses. Can you tell us a little bit about that model and why you think it might help to produce more generalists?
Yes, in contrast to the clinical years at many medical schools that I had been involved in the past, all students at the University of Wollongong in their major clinical year have a year based in a general practice called a longitudinal integrated clerkship, which is a placement, it's an American term, but much used in the literature. And the beauty of that, they are in a healthcare system, treating or managing together with the doctors in the setting, keeping that community healthy, as you know, to the best of ability. They work with the generalist, and importantly, what the generalists offer is, we call it undifferentiated patients. They come to the surgery as they come to ED, and you don't know what they're presenting for. So if they might have chest pain, you have to decide, you know, what is the reason for this chest pain? Is it a chest infection? Is it a heart condition? Is it panic attack? Whatever, is where people mimic the symptoms of a heart attack. So the students get that ability, and together with their supervising GP, they see a lot of patients, and they see them, because they're there such a long time, the students get an opportunity to see the patient before the doctor does. They have a consulting room that's available for the student. They see the patient, and then the GP comes in and they work together and discuss what's going on. Importantly, in front of the patient, and I have data which show the patients find that very satisfying, because are part of the discussions and correct the student if they didn't get it right. But they feel part of the team, and they say they respect their doctor and their role in training medical students. So they have a really long-term relationship with a supervisor or some other healthcare workers in the practice with patients, and they actually get to see them and see the outcome of any management interventions. And if they go off for surgery, if they need, you know, more specialist care, the student sees them when they come back. I do need to add, this is not a general practice placement. This is integrated placement. So they work in the hospital, ED, and the general practice in that setting. So they get a sense of how healthcare works in that system of healthcare, that community. So I think that's very beneficial for all learners, whether they're undergraduate or postgraduate.
And is Wollongong finding that their graduates are spreading further afield because of the way they've been trained?
They are producing graduates who are working in rural settings. And also, many of their graduates are working in the regional setting, like Wollongong, which before the school was established, it also was trying to increase the graduates to out of the big capital cities. So I think they are doing well in terms of their students are working in regional as well as rural settings. I mean, they are hoping to add to the rural regional workforce and general practitioners, but many of the students in some of the surveys are working in generalist specialties as well, or have interest in it. But Wollongong is quite a new school. It takes quite a while to finish your training and decide where you're going to settle and practice. So they don't have final outcomes data yet to show the product. The Commonwealth Government have given a lot of funding to the medical schools in Australia to encourage recruitment of rural students and to encourage them to go rurally by having a quality rural experience. And I think that's shown some outcomes, but there's now a move afoot to try and get some of the postgraduate trainees being based in rural settings and coming to the city for selected terms rather than being based in the city and only going out rural for selected terms.
Do you think the Wollongong model should be adopted in other schools?
Well, I think many schools already are doing it to some extent. Adelaide has a rural clinical school like other medical schools, and they do a very similar model in the rural setting. And the students are keen to go to the rural school and do very well in their final exams. But many, like Flinders University in South Australia, has not the whole school, but many of their students are doing a similar year. And it was Flinders that pioneered this model. I mentioned the Northern Ontario School of Medicine in Northern Canada. They also have all the students doing this model in Northern Canada and have very good outcome data about rural return.
Are there enough generalists teaching?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, because when we set up at Wollongong, because of student numbers and placements, we worked via what were then the divisions of general practice to engage with GPs. And we found we had many of them engaging, and they felt really great to be valued by the medical school. Mm-hmm. That they had a lot to offer, and they said in some of the data I collected how they found that it was really great to be valued as a generalist. I think you asked me about whether all students should do this, and you would have to look at the capacity of general practice in Australia to take it on. A benefit for the supervisor is that you get a student, it takes a little while to get them going and to know your patients and how your practice works. And instead of then just getting them going and then they finish and another student comes, it's sort of an investment in the student. And there were many practices that said, we've spent a lot of money trying to recruit doctors, and we wanted to engage, seeing that potentially if we can engage with a medical student, they have a great experience, more likely to come back. So
sort of like bonding.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I think the colleges are also, the AMC in Australia had a workshop about generalism. They are keen that many of their trainees have some training in generalism. so that they are able to practice confidently, you know, feeling competent to work in settings where generalists are needed. I mentioned in the article Albright and colleagues who addressed this issue, saying, you know, that maybe we should bring more generalists into the tertiary settings to have them working together with other clinicians and having students see them active in medical education. Role models and inspiring supervisors do play a role in recruiting students.
How much easier would all this be if there was a national oversight body taking care of medical training?
I don't know if this will be a popular comment, but I actually feel that it's very fragmented in Australia. We have the universities doing undergraduate training.
Yes.
We have hospitals managing state pre-vocational, which is the intern and first year post-intern training. And then we have the college, various colleges training for different specialties. And I think that's a handicap to having a shared vision and having, you know, a vertical continuum where students go through the system en route to, and the system, in inverted commas, looking at what we need for population health needs and trying to manage the population health needs as a body. Yeah, yeah. I think in the MJA, Ahern and colleagues wrote about an article recently recommending that we do need a national integrated governance structure. Mm-hmm. And I actually think the AMC, which accredits medical schools and colleges, should, if there was an integrated approach to accreditation, that might further facilitate that. I think the fragmented nature of medical education in Australia is something, I believe there should be more integration.
Professor Hudson, okay. Thank you so much for your time.
That's all right. You're welcome.